Okay, welcome back, Financial Beast. And today, you know, I've been on this expansion kick because I know a lot of practice owners, at some point in time make a decision that they want to expand their practice, which is not an easy thing to do. But it's ideal, you know, at some point in time, you're going to have to confront the fact that you can't do it all by yourself. And you are going to have to look to, you know, expand, you know, your quote unquote empire, so that it leads to more financial wherewithal and more time for yourself. So I wanted to bring on someone today that has that idea of expansion, but then also really, I want to dig into how to involve your people and how to compensate your people, so that you get them tied into the process of expanding. And, you know, what's the philosophy behind that? How do you do that? And we'll talk a whole lot more about other things too. But I'm going to bring in Wade Reinhart from First Choice Physical Therapy. Wade has multiple locations. You're in a panhandle of Florida, right, Wade?
I am yeah. In Northwest Florida.
So he's got, I know you have at least three locations. I don't know how many patient visits you're doing, probably well over 600 to 700 patient visits a week. And I thought he would be perfect to bring on to really talk about this idea of expansion and how to bring your people on. So thanks for being on the show, Wade.
Thanks for having me. It's a true honor to be graced by the one and only Eric from Econologics. Guys, just to say a little a kudos here, Econologics has changed everything that I do, but has reinforced everything that I thought that I wanted to do, if that makes sense. I needed that confirmation that says, yeah, you're heading in the right direction. And my guy, Josh Abrahamson, he's a great sounding board. For that reason alone, it's worth every bit that I pay every month, because I've got a qualified professional on the other end of the line that's going to tell me the truth. He's not going to sugarcoat things. He's going to say your idea is trash or your idea is good. And he always does it in such a nice way that makes me think it's my idea sometimes. But having that backing from Econologics has changed the game. So to be asked onto the show and this recording is a pure honor of mine. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
No problem. I appreciate the endorsement. So let's talk about, we'll get into expansion. We'll get into like how you view your team and how you built that as well. But like, give me your, like, if I said, Wade, next 3 years, what's your business life look like? What do you want that to look like in the next 3 years?
So one of the things I think Econologics has helped me to understand is that if I'm inside of my practice working, I cannot work on it if I'm working in it. And I know that there's a model out there that allows you to be a physical therapist as well as an owner and administrator. I wore all three of those hats at one time. And I'm telling you, it's just not possible to expand when you've got all three of those hats. I had to make a decision whether I'm going to act like an owner administrator or I was going to act as a physical therapist treating patients. Clinically speaking, I still love it. And what I've done to expand is I teach my crew now. I have continuing ed classes in-house that helps them. But that has allowed me the time to be able to expand the practice. We've got a third clinic that we put up in 2021, and it's doing great. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for that time off of treating patients, I would never have been able to do it. There are things that I have to do to expand the practice that no one else can make those decisions. If I were to piecemeal it out, then they're still going to be bombarding me with, hey, you know, Dr. Wade, what do you want to do here? Do you want to do this? You want to do that? And so you have to make a decision at some point whether you want to work on your practice or you want to work in your practice. And either one of those are great, but you can't do both, in my opinion.
When did you realize, because you had hit a good point on, you know, any business owner, especially in the healthcare space, is going to be faced with that moment where you realize, oh my God, I'm a practitioner, I'm an administrator, and I'm also an owner. And trying to do all three of these things is just, it's too much. Can you kind of tell me what that point was where you were just like, this, I can't do all three of these?
Yeah, multitasking is something that an owner has to do. And you can do it for a short period of time, but for extended period of time, at times it hurts. It physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it hurts. Mm. And I think that for me, it turned the corner in 2017 when I actually hired a practice manager that was worth their salt. I hired a practice manager, her name is Stephanie, and she came loaded with a "I can do anything if you'll give me a moment" attitude. She researched, she did things, she was on the spot with things I needed. I'd lay out a list and give her a time frame, and she would beat that time frame. So at that point, I knew I had a practice manager that I could work with and who would work with me and for me. At that point, we had enough staff that if I were to go to the floor and work, then somebody's going home. Mm-hmm. So I wanted my people to be able to work still. I didn't want to send a therapist home because, you know, if they're not making a paycheck, they're not going to stay here. So it was a gradual process. I think from 17, I've wanted to do it since 15, but 17, I had the freedom to kind of step away a little bit more. And by 2019, I was fully off the floor.
Wow.
Meaning I would only come in if they had a problem patient. "Hey, Dr. Wade, can you come check this out? We've done this, this, and this. We can't figure it out. She's not turning the corner." And I would come in that way. At that point, I was able to really, I think I put Econologics on the books in 2020. Is that right, Eric?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been with you guys for, I think it was mid 2020. That's why it feels like it's been 3 years, but I think it's been 2.5 years or something like that. Because I had no one else to go to that knew, that could confirm my suspicions of the direction I was going. You know, it's a scary thing to be out here when you pack your own chute and you're jumping off the cliff.
Right.
So having the support helped me to not only confirm that I needed to be owner administrator, but also that the future expansion. I knew that if I didn't break free from the clinic floor, that I would not be able to expand the practice. I'm a practitioner at heart. I still think I'm really good at this stuff. And that's what I've done, the teaching thing, which helps satisfy the clinician in me. When I can disseminate the information that I've collected over 25 years on how to treat patients and this problem, that problem to my staff, it's almost as if I'm getting that mental paycheck by proxy. You know, I still feel when they're successful, I'm successful. So I get the ego stroke that when my staff wins on a patient, and we have these staff meetings and they'll discuss on some of the wins. We also get Google confirmations, which is great for marketing. I mean,
right.
We put some things in play that's got this Google thing just off the chain. We get Google reviews 2-3 a day. It's just clicking up, and they're five star. Recently, we just won the Best of Bay. There's a local newspaper that puts out everybody in the community votes. We've won this every year since they put this thing out for 7 years in a row. And that's a testimony to the staff. I have to live now vicariously through them. And, you know, as a clinician and call it pride, whatever you want to call it, I want to be the guy that says, "Man, you're the man. Thank you for fixing my neck. Thank you for fixing my low back." I don't get that as much, but when they get it, it's almost like your children. When your children achieve a milestone, you're really, really proud of them. I mean, almost as if it's better for you, for them to do it than if you did it yourself.
I completely get that. Same thing, you know, when I was working with, when I was doing a lot of advising with the clients, and I would be like, okay, I love the interaction. I love seeing them win. But really right now, I love getting reports of Josh and all the other advisors,
right,
like all the wins that they get from working with people. It's like, okay, well, I had a hand in that because someone had to teach them how to do that.
Exactly. And you don't have to toot your own horn. Like for me, I don't, because they'll come to me and they'll say, "Hey, you know, thanks for helping me out with that patient or this and that." I say, no, that was you. You did a great job. I want you to keep that attitude up. I'm always here for you. Send me an email, call me night or day. Hey, I actually turn it around and say, "Hey, thank you for letting me practice my skill again. That was very nice of you to include me. And you kind of have to magnanimously let them off the hook and try to elevate them more, push them ahead of you than you do yourself. For so many years, it was self-promotion because I needed them to send me their friends, their family, their mom, their dad, and say, hey, if you like what I did for you, and I'm really good at this, I need you to send me another patient so I have another opportunity. Now I'm trying to teach them to do the same for themselves. And as I build them up as well. So,
and I wasn't going to go here, but I am right now. Do you feel like, do you push your practitioners and your providers pretty hard? I mean, to the degree of
if you ask them, that answer may be, well, yeah, but I would change the verbiage, push versus pull.
Okay.
I think I pull them along. I believe if I set a standard of excellence and I set the bar that they'll achieve. Now, sometimes they need a little nudge, maybe from behind. I have to go from the front on the pull and come behind and nudge them. But that's why we have, you know, our incentive program. I don't call it a bonus. I call it an incentive program. If you do your basic job, which is the job description comes with X, Y, and Z that you have to do, and you do these other couple things, then you get a share in the profits of this company. And I share 20% of the profits. And I also lay it out for them what our expenses are and what our costs were and what we brought in. They see it all. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide. And I told them, and the first day I rolled it out, and realized, Eric, I worked on this for 8 months because the algorithms that I had to calculate were not in a quantifiable realm. I had to take a qualifying attribute and try to quantify that. That was hard, but I think I did it because now that whole system that I put together is part of what gets them their extra money in their pocket, the incentive. It also helps to give them a raise at the end of the year. If they were consistent at meeting these milestones and these goals that we set forth for them. So those are that's the pull that I'm talking about. We actually set goals for them every month. And every month they have X, Y, and Z to achieve. We actually post it on a board in the break room so they can see the leader who saw at least the 1.5 patients per hour, who saw the most patients that month. There's a couple metrics that we share globally with everybody, but they also get the deeper metrics every month in an email from their little page. And it helps to, I think, motivate them. It helps to give them a place to know where they are and where they want to be. So I want them to kill it. Cause if they'll hit these incentives, the profit of the company is directly proportional to that. This month, we only had two people not meet their incentives, which we've never had a month. And the incentives now, they're set tight. They're achievable because you got to make goals achievable. They're tight, but they're also something you need to shoot for. You've got to work for it. So when they hit it, they're actually excited about hitting the number, but then they see their paycheck. That just reinforces, you know, the whole program. They don't get it every month. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I got so many questions I want to ask right now, but I think a big point that you made is that, look, I think people growing up, you know, we're always taught, don't talk about money, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, whatever it is at the dinner table. And I think a lot of business owners also will kind of take that, you know, data that they learn and apply that to their business and be afraid to talk about money and finances with their staff. And I think that's a big mistake because, and you're super transparent when it comes to the finances, which I think every business owner needs to be. Right. There's just no reason to like try to hide anything. And, you know, certainly, I mean, there's probably things that you don't show them, but by and large, you show them the, you know, this is what it takes to run this business. Okay. This is not, you know, Bank of England. We don't have, you know, unlimited resources here.
Right.
All right. And there are certain production targets that we have to hit for this place to stay solvent and for us to expand and for you guys to get paid what you want to get paid. And these are the numbers that you need to hit, which I think is, you know, every business owner needs to do that.
Eric, I call this place our house. And yep. And just like you run your home, you've got to meet bills, you got to pay your mortgage, we got to do the same thing here. But the difference is that what we do here actually gives you the money so that you can go home to your home and do these things. So if you can get them to think of this as their house, then they'll take better care of it. I think they'll work harder. I think mm-hmm. when you share with them the bills and the finances, they understand it. And they're not so us against the owner. There's sometimes an us against the owner. But when you're transparent, hey, brother, what? I'm transparent. Here's the bills. What do you want me to do? This was a 3 payroll month. This is our expenses. You know, our expenses are at $220,000 this month. And a good portion of that was your paycheck, everybody's paycheck. And the months that they don't receive an incentive, like what's funny is that we've never had a bonus in a 3 paycheck month, mm-hmm. and it just happens twice a year, and they know that. I knew that was part of the design, but the last 3 pay period, we almost made a bonus, and we could have made a bonus if we didn't lose one of our therapists who moved away. That one extra would have put us over. I don't care if it was a dollar. I wanted to turn it. For them,
that would have been cool. You'll definitely get it one day.
We are on track because the expansion of the third clinic and which that's how I got them to buy in to letting me off the hook to go expand the third clinic. I know this may be getting to a later question, but the segue is here, guys. If you'll let me go and let me do what I can do to make this other clinic, that clinic will now add money into the coffers of the bay that we call First Choice. And I tell them all the time, the tide rises all ships.
Right.
What I'm trying to get them to understand now is we're all in the same damn ship. So this is First Choice. This is the ship that you're on. And if we raise the tide, everybody benefits. And I think they're buying into that now. They understand it intuitively because it's our house.
I'm sure it wasn't always like that. Can you remember a point where you were just like, when you didn't have this set up and some of the us against them, did you ever have that with any of the staff where you felt like it was you against them?
Yeah, we did. And I lost an employee because of that. I was expanding the practice. This was probably around 2012. I was looking to better our position at another location to buy a bigger location because we had grown out of it. And so I bought it and I wasn't on the floor as much. You know, I was doing 3 days a week. The other 2 days I was hustling, trying to put this real estate deal together, that real estate deal together. And the guy decided, you know, he wants to go out and do home health. And I said, hey, man, I'm just going to tell you right now, the grass is always greener on the other side. That home health is going to spread you around. You think you're going to see 8 patients a day to make the money you want, but they're going to have you running around so hard that is it going to be worth it? I said, there's something to be said about a consistent paycheck. There's something to be said about the culture that we have here because, you know, we're all buds and I want the best for you. This is what you think you need to do for your family. Go for it. But as a favor to me, can I have an exit interview with you? I want to know some things that I can do to better this practice from the standpoint of the employee. His first thing was, I don't think you should have spent that money on that new facility. And I said, okay, why do you think that? He said, because you could have paid everybody more money instead of doing the expansion. And I said, well, you know, it is my money. I can do with it what I want. I appreciate your honesty. It sounds like there was some animosity in that. And I apologize if you thought that I was just trying to, increase my pockets, because the heart behind the expansion is to increase all of our pockets.
Correct. Yeah.
And he went out to home health and didn't stay in it more than 6 months, 8 months, because they did exactly to him what I told him they would do. He actually, his without going into details, he had a referral source. So he opened him a small practice, and now he's a himself. He's still working and he's got a PTA helping him. And I think he's doing just fine. And I sent him a nice peace lily when he opened his practice. But you know, he's stuck in a 1500 square foot facility, and he'll, if he's happy with that, I'm not, you know, trying to, you know, diss his game. Some people, right. If that's you, what you want to do, man, knock it out. I love that. Find your place in the world and work on that and do that. For me and my house of 35 employees, in order to pay them well, in order to keep the culture going, I needed to expand the coffers. And yes. that's what expansion did. And that's some of the rub that I had originally got. But again, if I think I could have put that to rest if I had showed him the numbers. I didn't start showing them numbers until 2021. I'd already been with EconoLogix, but had been working right. on the bonus structure. And then, you know, Josh, and I don't know if Josh ever showed you that, but he said, man, this is pretty slick. And we tinkered, and I said, I think I'm ready to launch this thing. And ever since I launched it, our numbers, oh my gosh, I think it's a 30-40% increase.
That's and amazing. I
don't even, it's the number's too high. Personally, I'm going to have to go check that number, but our patient business became more, our reimbursements seem to be more. I can't tell you, it put my finger on exactly why. I just know that the timing of the two were, maybe it's coincidental. Maybe I got a little bit more buy-in from the employees because I am now transparent. They get a monthly report of what the company did. And yep. they all see it all the way down to the PTAs. I think the front office administration gets it too. I share it with everybody. They get a bonus structure as well.
And when you came up with this model, I mean, you had mentioned that it's a percentage of profits, right?
Yeah.
And which it goes without saying, though, you'd be surprised how many people have a reward system where it's not based upon profits. And I'm like, okay, I just don't know how you can reward people and stay solvent if it's not based upon profits.
Eric, if you ask my wife, prior to this incentive program, it came down to a 1 year, end of the year bonus. I didn't want to be like the hospital and give you a turkey. Or a $25 gift card, because or a clock. That's what the hospitals did. And it came down to a personal heart thing. And it would wear on me emotionally every time, because I love my people. They're my friends. I hang out with these people. You're with them 8-9 hours a day. And you love them. You laugh with them. You cry with them. You pray with them. When they hurt, you hurt. When they're successful, you're successful. It was an emotional roller coaster starting in about mid-November. What do we give this year? And then I'd have to go to the books and look at how much we made. Then I had to go try to anticipate what my tax burden was going to be, because I can't give you money that I don't have and that I've been putting away for taxes. So now, man, there is no end of the year. We have an end of the year Christmas party that I actually cook for them. They love my cooking. I cook for about 70 people. I've got this down. If the physical therapy don't work, I got a restaurant model that I think will take. It's one of those things that took it out of the emotional realm and it put it into the factual realm of you get paid this because you helped us earn this. I don't sweat about the December bonus. I now have a December incentive, which usually is pretty tight. It's pretty big because November, wow. End of the year is coming. People start getting their surgeries around October. They come in. November is typically a big year and it's a big push to the end of the year because everybody's trying to get in before their deductibles start over on January.
Correct.
So that December check is good. The January check is usually pretty good, which helps them through the Christmas bump.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. And as you said, the timing of this whole program that you've kind of rolled out you've noticed now growth. So yeah. You did something right. I mean, something clicked.
It had to be that. I do think that the better organization, we're tighter as a company. We're tighter in our pathways. You know, I believe in a Six Sigma model. It's not the person's fault that failed to perform, it's my fault for not setting up a system that they could be successful at. That's mm-hmm. Six Sigma in a nutshell, the way I understand it. So I try to work on pathways. I try to make their lives. My job is to make their life easy at this point, to support them. And I bust my tail. Me and my practice managers, we are constantly talking over texts and emails. Hey, I've seen this. We're about to implement a new texting program for our front office so that they can get the phone out of their ear and multitask with a text and answer quicker than to actually pick up the phone and say hello. Now, we've got answer machines and all this other stuff in there. We're also putting in, we're trying out for I think, 2 months or a month, an AI documentation system that helps the therapist to document faster so they can mm-hmm. spend more time with the patient. That's the one thing they always complain about is, man, my documentation. And that's with a system that is pretty fast. I say, you don't even know what you're talking about. Well, let's rewind to 2002 when I had to write all this out by hand. That system is 10 times faster than what I used to have to do. And it kind of helps you hold your hand to keep you consistent with what Medicare is looking for. And it holds you, oh, you didn't put this right code here, or you had too many codes here. And it watches. So these are the things that, you know, I like where we are right now. And mm-hmm. I like the fact that we can actually work on the company and make it more efficient and make them more successful. I'm very happy. Go ahead.
Yeah. How big are you looking to get? I know that sometimes it's not really a game of like money and all the time. I mean, obviously money's good. It's awesome to have. This is a financial podcast, so we love talking about money, but you have I think a good system and methods of controlling the money, right, as it comes in and as it goes out, and compensating yourself and all of those things that, you know, I think, every owner should do. How big though do you want to get? I mean,
so that's a question I had to ask myself. My wife will tell you, she doesn't want me to get too big because I had robbed so much time from her previously. But now that I actually have grown, I actually get to spend more time with my family. I get more time. It's a funky time because there may be times when I get the call. It's my company. I got to come. I got to go fill in for so-and-so who's got a stomach bug and it's too late to call the patients. I'm so glad to do that. I get to practice physical therapy again. Sign mm-hmm. me up. Take me off the bench, coach. I'm ready to go. But now I get to have lunches with her. I get to go to dinners with her at an early dinner time. You know, as I get older, I'm approaching 50, and I like to eat dinner at like 5 o'clock. It makes me sleep better. You know, you're laughing because you're probably there. You're
probably I am, there brother. Too. Yeah.
I don't like eating so late because it'll back up on you. So she has seen that by putting the right people in place, by me being allowed the time to get those right people in place. You know, prior to, it was just, who wants a job? Okay, come on. There was no screening process. It was just, I need help. We were growing at such an expansion rate that was just unheard of. It was crazy. And it's only doing what we're supposed to do in therapy. I'm only doing what I'm supposed to do, what I was taught to do. I guess maybe what I feel is right to take care of the patient. That model of caring in this environment works. And I found out that I can teach a monkey to do the physical therapy stuff. That's not the hard part. Finding the right heart to work here, that mm-hmm. was the key. And I started to hone in on that around 2014, 2015. So I didn't care so much what school you came from, but I did care for the first interview and the second interview. And the questions that they asked said volumes as to where their heart was. You know, I want somebody to come in here and they want to learn. They want to expand their skill set. They want to become better at their craft versus how much you paying.
Right.
And a lot of the kids coming out today, that's the first question out of the gate. I can almost tell you I 86 them right away.
Nice.
One, it's not professional to start with that. So they've got bad training somewhere. You don't start with that. Mm-hmm. Is it a real number? Both of us sitting at this table know that that's a big deal. We'll get to that, but let's get some of the softer qualities out of the way. So having the ability to pick those people has allowed me to have the time to expand, which has allowed me to have the time to pay back my wife and my kids. You know, if I want to, you know, pop up to FSU where my kids are going to college and catch a game with them, or you know, hear my girl sing at church, I have the freedom to do that.
I love it. Yeah. Expansion allows you to do that. Expansion. I think people think that the expansion is going to eat up a lot of their time, but it really is a pathway to reclaiming your time.
It absolutely is. And to answer your question, in Bay County, where I reside, we have three clinics. We've got the most clinics of any company ever in the history of Bay County. I want a fourth clinic in Bay County, and I'm working on a fifth clinic in Dufuniac as we speak, which is another county. How big do I want to get? I'm going to see how five works, because I know for a fact I can put up a clinic in 2 seconds. Putting a clinic together is not the hard part. Finding the right person with the right heart to help run that clinic, that is the hard part. And again, I'm going to be magnanimous and lift up my people. Our success is based on the fact that I've got some people in place that have great hearts, and they're working their butts off.
And then, do you have an end game? I mean, you're approaching 50. Okay. You seem to love what you do. Is there an end game at this point?
There absolutely is. And that's one of the things that Econologix has helped me out. You organize my life. So as an owner, And being a practitioner, you run hard. So you usurp some of the things that you should do, like wills, like getting all your financial stuff in one area. Man, I'm telling you, and this is not, you didn't pay me to do this. I actually pay you. I'm on here and I'm paying you.
It's true.
You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. Yeah. First of all, I took a chance and I spent the money because I knew I needed some help. And it is the best money I have spent on my company. And I know that your marketing probably says some of those things, but do yourself a favor. If you're looking at this for the first time or whatever, make a phone call. Get Eric to get you a recommendation to somebody. If you get me, you already have my endorsement, but it's money well spent to be able to have the advisory caliber that his company is creating. That alone has also helped me to expand. Prior to coming on, I had one clinic, but then when I got in and they got me organized and they got things set like they should, which includes an end game. I've got a couple options of the end game, which I never had been able to contemplate until I was able to speak to Josh. Because he said, hey, what's your end game? I was like, I don't know. I don't ever think I'm going to stop. He goes, yeah, but when are you going to stop doing that? And I said, you know what? I want to have the option probably in the next 10 years. And the option looks like a buyout for my guys. I've got some key people in place. And I promised them to have first shot at this company. Good. They know it. They know it inside and out. They will not have to change a thing. I think that taking the books to the bank will loan them the money. I think I think banks are looking for medical's a good bet. But when you have medical being bought out by the guys that's been there, I've got a guy that's been here 20 years. I've got my young buck that I brought in. He was one of my kids in middle school as a patient. He is now clinical director he's beat the town facility a couple times. So it's grown. He is now going on 11 years, and in 10 years, it'll be 20 years. He won't be 40. And so that's kind of the right time for him to be able to have some ownership. Plus, he's had all the time of mentorship, hopefully, that I'm giving him, because he doesn't look at things exactly right. Now, I have a meeting with my clinical directors, and they come off the wall with some things. And I know why. They don't have all the knowledge or the information I have. And I said, well, on the surface, that's a good idea. But let me share this one piece of information to see if I can change your mind. And I share it with him. He's like, I didn't know that. And I said, I know you didn't know that. But do you change your mind? He goes, I see where you're coming from now. So each one of those episodes that he learns from is going to be put into that bank to when he takes over, when they collectively take over as partners. Boom. It's such an easy gig for them. It'll just be collect money at that point. I really do think they'll still have to work. But at some point they're going to have to decide which one of us is going to be administrator.
Right.
And they will. They'll have to be administrator owner and then be the fill-in, because I'm the fill-in. I fill in when somebody gets sick, and I love it. But at some point they're going to have, and I'll be there with them. Even if I don't own it, I'll be there with them to answer those questions, because I still want them successful, even when I'm no longer a part of it.
And I think the great thing about that is, look, most people that are in your situation right now are probably eyeing the big payout of selling to corporate and looking at, you know, getting 80% of whatever the sale price would be up front and maybe staying on for a couple of years, because that seems to be the model right now for right. a lot of people that have a business that clearly corporate would want. But you're setting yourself up in a position right now where not only are you getting people to buy in to the game, the business, the purpose, but you're also not just sitting on your laurels and frivolously spending your profits. You're creating other income sources outside of just the practice and the businesses, right?
Yeah.
You got real estate, you got a lot of other things, so that you can sell to these guys. And I mean, could you make more money if you sold to corporate? You probably could. Right. Yeah. You probably could, but you don't need to do that. You can exit the way that you want to, because right. you've been prudent about, you know, taking profits, reinvesting those in other assets and creating multiple income sources, which right. I think is the, you know, that's the dream for every owner.
That goes back to the last conversation I had with the guy that left me and opened his own practice, went to home health. Mm-hmm. Me spending my money in these other pockets of investment allows me to share more money inside this pocket. And when this pocket is done, I can sell it, even though I may be able to glean another 1.5 million or whatever, because I've got these other successful investments. You know, you've always heard of diversifying your portfolio. Well, mm-hmm. I've done that. I've diversified my portfolio. I have a pretty diverse, it's a little bit probably heavier in real estate, but that real estate holds the business of first choice inside of it. So I kill two birds with one stone when I own the building and I make and they get a good rent from me. I'm good to my company. I'm such a good landlord, you know. But then when they do buy me out, because it's already a fixed cost for them, it won't mm-hmm. change. Now nope. that fixed cost goes into my pocket. How much money do you really need to make? I mean, if I wanted to retire now, I probably could, mm-hmm. but I don't. I told Josh, he says, are you ever going to retire? I said, define that, because I'm going to work. I'm going to do something. I'm going to be active in something. You know, the next rendition of what I'm trying to do is put together continuing ed units and let my guys, if I can get this down, to let them teach these courses on the weekend. We have all the facilities. We have everything everything we need to do this and be successful at it. But it also puts money in their pockets. It also puts money in my pockets. If I'm putting yes. money in my pocket, I'm usually putting money in their pocket as well. Some of my side investments, and they know about my side investments. My guys know about all of my side investments. They don't know 100% of those details, but hopefully they learn from me. You know, it took me a while to gain enough money to be able to put money down on something, but I've always put money down and bet on myself. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until recently that I've been putting some, you know, you always do your 401k, which I do for them as well. So I do it for myself. You yep. have some other, any extra money that you didn't spend, you throw it into the investment firm and they go put it into Amazon or something like that. And what's yeah. funny is that you spend 20 years doing that, and all of a sudden you look up and you're like, wow, I've amassed some wealth here. Where did yeah. that come from? And when I did the Financial Beast paperwork to begin with, and I started laying all this stuff out and put it all in front of me, I'm like, man, I was humbled. I was blessed. And I was thanking God for being good to me. And I guess maybe thankful for being busy enough to where I couldn't go spend the money. Because as a younger man, if I knew I had that much money, I might have blown it. We might have had a cooler ride or a house yeah. in the Hamptons or something. But again, it goes back
you don't miss
to
it.
The heart. No, yeah. man. The heart of the practitioner, I take the mental paycheck from helping people. That's why that heart is so important, because they won't put so much, they won't measure their paycheck in a dollar amount. They're going to measure their paycheck in, do I love to come to work? Do I love the people that I work with? And do I love helping people? And that last one, helping people, that helps you with coming to work and liking the people, because if you're down there helping and they're helping and everybody's helping each other, then you love to come to work and it's not work anymore. It's just a day away from home. And Hopefully I can make it feel like home enough here, or second home, that they fight like you're their family. You know?
I love
it. I'm not trying to pull the wool over their eyes. I treat it like a family. There are some professional things in place that you have to do as a company. But at the end of the day, if somebody calls me and asks me to pray for them, I'm going to pray for them right there on the spot. It doesn't bother me at all. I'll come to your house and fix the plumbing if I have time and you need me. And they all know that. And I think they need to have that in the leadership, is knowing that I'm here for you, not just in the confines of the four walls, but also in your life. And we've all been blessed. I can't tell you how blessed I've been and fortunate I've been to be able to amass the success that we've had. I think it's a testimony to a good heart, pure motives, and just hard work. Just stick your head down and let's grind. You know, they call it work for a reason.
I do.
You know, you got to work sometimes, and sometimes it's a grind, but sometimes it's fun if you do it right.
No doubt. I want to talk a little bit about the physical therapy field in general. Do you have any concerns over the next 10 years, state of the industry, that needs to get fixed, or?
Yes, absolutely. And we just had a conversation earlier today about it. You know, congressmen and senators are always going to get their paycheck. They're always going to get their raise. But for us out here in the medical field, all Medicare does is cut our fee. They cut us with a 3% cut last year. They gave us a 15% cut on the PTAs. They're talking about another three. They're going to mess with the way they do the calculation for payment, which is going to end up in another 3%-ish cut. But all the while, the world prices of everything are going up. So what can I do in my practice to combat that? I have to become more efficient. And that's what we're trying to do. I have to motivate my people and tell them, guys, the price of food is going up faster than I can give you a raise.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm making cuts in-house, then you need to make some cuts at home. Okay? It's not a big deal if you don't go to dinner four nights a week like you're used to. Stay at home. Food's going to be healthier for you when you cook it yourself. I do a lot of cooking at the house. I like my food better than the restaurants. My wife knows I want a restaurant. I think my cuisine would reign supreme in my area. However, all my buddies who own restaurants tell me, don't do it. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
Terrible business. That's what
I
hear.
It's a terrible business, and the profit margin is not quite there. So we're trying to streamline. The PTs and PTAs are not being turned over enough to keep up with the baby boomers. And then you have the whole hit of the early retirement in COVID. So that whole baby boomer populace got a fast forward of 2 or 3 or 5 years. So now we've got this bucket of baby boomers, but we're on a 3-week wait, Eric, at all my clients.
Wow.
I've never been on a 3-week. I took pride in the fact that I could get you in within 48 hours. That was one of the things I marketed for a while. Hey, you want an appointment? I get you in 48 hours. I can't do that anymore. I have to pull that marketing because we got a 3-week wait, and they're still waiting for us because we've been able to amass a good name. You know, I think that's an important thing. You've got to have a good name as a company. And in order to do that, you've got to put things in play. You got to keep the financial stuff on always on the front burner. You always got to have the bottom line, but you've got to do it in such a way that doesn't make the focus, at least to your people, doesn't look like that's your focus. Because I believe if you focus on the patient, the money will come. And that's what we've always done. And that's what we continue to preach to our employees.
Yeah. And if you could say, you know, one thing to new PTs coming out of school, what would you tell them? Where should they be focusing on?
They should be focusing on their skill set. And also, just common wisdom, be the guy or girl that when your boss needs something, they think of you first.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get to that place? You come to work on time. You work hard while you're here. You help others when you have a second And all these things, they don't go unnoticed. I know who I can call right now on that floor to come help me do something if I need it. I know who I can't. And if you want to be successful in practice, if you want to be the next person in line to maybe purchase that practice, then you need to be that person. Also keep in fact, the fact is you can't have it overnight. Owners like myself did not amass this out of the gate. I didn't get given this. I come from a poor family, or lower class and middle class family. My dad was a master chief, master diver with four sons. You can't make a whole lot on that with that kind of government pay. But out of the hard work ethics that my father taught me, I was able to make the transition into the medical practice, make some common sense choices, be that guy. And then I was that guy for the bosses that I had prior to. Then I could become the guy for myself. Mm-hmm. And I've got a couple of key players, and those key players are the ones that I've invited to buy this practice when it ends, when I end my reign. And that's because they're the guy that I need to call when I need something to do, and they're jolly on the spot. You've got to work for somebody. I work for somebody. Everybody works does. For somebody.
Yes.
So if you're lucky enough to get to choose who you work for, then count that as a blessing. But yes, don't expect to have, you know, the heavens open up and give you riches right out of the gate. You've got to work for it. And I see a lot of that. I see a lot of that with the new grads. They want it all, and they want it now, and they don't want to have to work for it. That won't fly with a company like me. Maybe that flies with another company, but not here.
No, and it really doesn't fly at all. And that will, unfortunately, I think those are not good habits to learn early on. And I think what you're saying, which I 100% agree with, is, you know, most people that I've seen that are successful, man, it takes a while. I mean, it's not even a 5-year endeavor, man. I mean, it's like 15 to 20 years, you know, in some cases of putting in the work. And, but you know, it's worth it in the end, you know, because now
absolutely
it just does pay off at some point. And, but are you willing, and do you have the courage to be able to withstand the resistance and the pushback and the going without for a period of time? And some people can, some people can't. So,
and you know what, if you're not one of those people that can to make these sacrifices, I can't tell you how many times I took all my money and shoved it all in on a project. Mm-hmm. With a calculator. I had to have my wife right there. She goes, "Are you sure?" I said, "Well, now that you say, am I sure? I'm not sure." She goes, "Well, I trust you, but I'm, you know, we had this conversation." I said, "Look, I'm 26. If I fall on my butt, I know that I can work hard. I can pick my butt back up, even if I fail. And guys, I've failed. I've failed numerous times. I've failed more than I want to admit to. But it's out of those failures that I found the answers to become successful, if not only to say, hey, don't do that again. You know, those are the life lessons. And I've had my bumps. I've had the school of hard knocks. I did not come to this. I did not get an MBA out of school. I'm a doctor of physical therapy. I knew how to take care of patients. The rest of the stuff that I've learned has come through OJT, on-the-job training, and some of the school of hard knocks. And like I said, I had my head down and I worked so hard for so long that when I finally got a chance to look up, I really felt blessed to see what wealth that I had amassed and the things that I have done. That, you know, if I could take any credit, I made good on the opportunities God gave me. That's a credit I can take, because I still had to have the opportunity and it still had to present itself. I was just in a place and maybe gutsy enough, hey, maybe stupid enough to take those chances. You know, I can say probably half of them was, I didn't know what was on the other end. It looked good right here and it made sense right now. So I just jumped in and it panned out for me. But if you get a yes to go on something, it doesn't mean you're going to skip the pain. A no is better than a yes sometimes. If you get the call on high and God says, hey, I don't want you doing this, and you're going to walk away unscathed, clean, there's no trauma in that. But if you get the yes, then you're going to have to go and work. And there's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be things that you're going to do that you don't want to do, but you're going to have to do because you can't let it fail.
That's right.
I heard one guy say that one of the Spanish armadas came and they landed on the shore and they were scared to face the Indians. And the captain said, burn all the ships. And so he burned all the ships. And he said, now you have no choice but to go that way.
Necessity, my friend. Necessity is a driver of a lot of wonderful things. And, you know, I think we're probably going to have to, we're going to see that at some point in time. But let me just say, man, you are an A-plus owner. You are a financial beast and you are 100% an asset to the physical therapy industry and the community that you're in right now.
And those are kind words. Thank you.
I definitely want to thank you for being on the show, and it was awesome to get to talk to you. And I will definitely have you on again because I do want to have other conversations about talk a little bit more about money and you know some other you know ideas that you have.
I would love that. I know I get to talk because I'm so passionate about it, but to be a part of a company like EconoLogix that allows that helps me to harness that passion. This is not an infomercial for EconoLogix, but one, I was flattered that you asked me on. Two, it's nice to be able to reflect in these conversations that you and I had because I have not really had the things that I said today are not something that I've said quite before. But by asking me the questions and letting me reflect, man, out of this meeting today, I feel even more blessed than I thought that I already was. So I appreciate you giving me the time to reflect and do that. So thank you for that as well.
My pleasure, my friend. Okay, everyone. We'll see you on the next podcast. Be well.